I'd like to at this time say good evening to each and every one of you. It's certainly a pleasure to be in your midst. We have certainly enjoyed ourselves while we have been here in your fine city. We appreciate the hospitality of everyone, the friendliness of everyone. Elders have certainly been good to us. You certainly don't have to worry about that. These men have treated us better than we deserve, and so we appreciate that. I know my wife and daughter and future son-in-law enjoyed themselves while here, but they have started their journey back to Lawton. So if you'll pray for them this evening, we appreciate that as well. Me and my son will be here for a few days as we check out the city and the surroundings of this city. We're going to go back to the book of Jeremiah again this evening. We're going to go back into the Old Testament. I fought with myself on whether or not to do this, but two lessons from Jeremiah is all right because I like Jeremiah. He was a good man. But we're going to be in chapter 20, and we're just going to look at verse number 9, and we're going to make some points accordingly to that verse. Jeremiah chapter 20 and verse number 9, and once again I'll be reading from my King James Version. If we differ, that will be the only reason why, and I don't know what's wrong with me. I forgot to look what you have on the pews. Probably is it New King James or King James, but I've forgotten to look. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart as a fire burning shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. We simply have entitled this lesson, Wake Up. Wake up. This, my friends, is a wake-up call for the army of God. We have obeyed the gospel and have become soldiers of the cross. But there are too many soldiers of the cross that are sleeping on duty. There was some, I forget which one of those elders, one of them was like in one of them false militaries, the army, I don't understand why. I was in the real military, I was in the Navy. Okay, that wasn't funny. That's truthful. The real military is the Navy. And let me tell you this, I didn't like them. We had to stand watch. Well, and this is kind of crazy. We sometimes stand watch when we're, what are we watching for at sea? I don't understand that. If we get boarded at sea, we deserve to be boarded at sea. What am I didn't like watch. But you would be court-martialed if they found you sleeping on watch because it was that important. But God has put us on watch in this world, and many of us are asleep. Stay awake. Stay alert. Air is circling the globe. It is circling the globe. While truth is shut up in the corner of the church, still trying to get its boots on. But air continues to move forward. And the Church of Christ is sleeping while on duty. I understand this evening that it's never popular to stir somebody out of a, when you get into that good sleep, boy, you don't want nobody to wait. I understand that. People get mad. Leave me alone. I'm trying to sleep. My wife likes to talk to me at the most inopportune of times. I told her, I don't know about you, babe, but when I go to bed, it's to sleep, not to talk. I also understand that sleep is not a bad thing when we really begin to analyze it. There's nothing wrong with sleep. Matter of fact, it's necessary to life. You try not sleeping and see what happens. It's a necessary part of life. But there's such a thing. And don't tell my daughter this, she doesn't know this. I try to tell her all the time, but there's such a thing as too much sleep. You can have too much sleep. We talked about this, the preachers, and I got this is the horrible news is my wife isn't here, and no one is going to be able to give me my sign. My son doesn't know it, and you don't know it, and I'm not telling you that what it is. And furthermore, I ignored hers this morning, so don't think I won't ignore yours. So, I haven't slept. They've kept me up, and you talk about sleep is not a bad thing. But when I get tired, I preach. So I'm just going to preach. But sleep can be a bad thing. Remember we talked about with the elders, I talked about Eutychus. What happened to him? Well, he fell asleep and fell off the top and fell down dead. So sleeping at the wrong time can be a bad thing and bad things can happen to us. You know, a matter of fact, when you really analyze life and the life is going, some of you young people will need to understand that. You know, success in life depends on getting out of bed. You can't be in your bed and be successful in life. You must understand this. You've got to what? Get up. How else are you going to tackle the challenges that the day presents of this day if you're asleep in bed? You've got to get up and get it moving and shake the sleep off of yourself. Have you ever heard of some of these cliches? I know some of us older ones. Wake up and smell the roses. Got to get up out of bed. Wake up and smell the coffee or the Folgers in your cup. The early bird gets the worm. So we have these cliches that are telling us that we need to get up and get moving. We need to not be sleeping. I'm here to tell us tonight that as the congregation of the Lord's church, we need to wake up. We need to get moving. It's high time the church of our Lord and Savior start doing what He's asked us to do. The world needs to understand and see the love and righteousness of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is time for us to be noticed. It is time for us to be heard. It is time for us to be tested. Wake up, our mission is to go into the world and preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. People are dying, and they're dying lost without Jesus. And if you and I don't shake ourselves out of the slumber, there's no hope. There's no expectation. We have a grave responsibility that's been laid at our feet, going to all the world and preach and teach the gospel. Be lights to a dark world. We've got to get up and get out of bed. We've got to get up and keep moving. The world's crying out loud. You remember what they said to Philip in Bethsaida of Galilee. One of my favorite verses, John chapter 12 and verse number 21. The world really is still saying this, folks. They told him, sirs, we would see Jesus. The world still wants to see Jesus. He's not coming back to earth, except when it's time for judgment. They're going to meet him in the sky. And so if they're going to see Jesus, it is going to be in you and I. And if it's in you and I, that is predicated on us waking up and starting to obey every word that proceeded out of the mouth of Jesus. It is high time that we got out of the slumber and got about the business of the Father. Where is that Jesus? How is it that you were seeking me? Know you not that I would be about my Father's business? That's what Jesus said. It's high time that you and I start making the same statement. If you're looking for me, look for me where Jesus would be. Stop going places where Jesus would not be looking for me. Because I'm going to be about the Father's business. Nothing more, but yet nothing less. I am my Father's child. Am I not? In Romans chapter 13, verse number 11 and 12, Paul told the Romans, and do this knowing that the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. Did you catch that? It is high time, Paul talking to those Christians, to get up and awake out of sleep. If it was time then, why do we think it's not time now? It's time for those Romans. It's time. It's high time you awaken, get out of sleep. For now our salvation is nearer than when we first believed. If that was true then, isn't it true now? I preached this morning and some of you may have said it was a long time you preached too, preacher. I wish you would have sat down some. But this evening, and we're closer to salvation than we were this morning. Do we understand that? And if God blesses us to wake up and see tomorrow, we'll be closer yet still. Are we not moved by this fact? This ought to shake us to our core. Understanding I have less time to right now to work for God than I ever did before. When I get up in the morning, the same is true. I have less time right now to affect this world for God than I ever have before. Do we think that? Does it ever cross our minds? Every hour, every day, throwing away my time to serve God grows to an end. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and put on our armor of light. We're soldiers of the cross. There are no furloughs in the army of God. Oh, so I'm talking to you that maybe 80, 90, what I call them, are seasoned saints. Know the Bible inside and out. It's not time to sleep on God. There's no furlough just because you're 80. There is something you can do. If you don't know what you can do, see me after this lesson. I'll give you a whole lot of things to do. And you can get approval from the elders, though. But I'll give them to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse number 34. Paul told the Corinthian brothers the same similar message. He tells them, awake to righteousness. Do not sin, for some do not have the knowledge of God. Do you hear what Paul says? Awake, get up, wake up, wake up. There are people that are living out there without the knowledge of God. Did things change? Can we go to sleep comfortably? And say everything's all right around us. The world is sliding down a hill. Matter of fact, it's no longer sliding. They just start rolling down the hill. They were talking to me as we were gone. They were talking about when they were 19 and rolled down the hill. That's what made me think of that point. Just rolled down the hill. That's what our world is doing. Rolling down the hill. Have we forgotten the command of God to go into all the world? He saved us. He saved me, so I know He can save others. Do we understand that? The power of the cross. The message of the cross. Point number one, some need a wake-up call. When I talk about wake-up, folks, some need a wake-up call. Let me ask you this question. Where are you as an individual in the congregation of the Lord's Church right now that meets at 9th and Main? Where are you? Are you wide awake and doing those things God tells you to do? Are you busy about the Father's business? Are you a little bit drowsy? You want to do them, but you just can't seem to be motivated to do them. Or maybe you're just catnapping. I wake up every once in a while and I do a few things. Every once in a while, I check myself out. I'm catnapping. Or maybe you're dozing off. I'm sorry. I know I'm preaching to the choir. And you're not the ones that are sound asleep, but you have some that are here that are sound asleep. They're members of the Lord's Church, but they are sound asleep. Somebody says, I don't need this lesson. You're preaching to the choir. I love it. I love it. And yes, I am. I'm preaching to the choir. I am tonight. But let's analyze that statement. What is the responsibility of the choir? Let me tell you what a choir does. A choir sings. And I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you tonight so that you can sing. Choir, sing to the people that are asleep in the congregation. Go and give them this message. Don't keep it to yourself. Sing, choir, sing. Stop thinking that when I'm preaching to the choir that it's a bad thing. No. If you handle your responsibility as the choir to sing it to the members, then we're okay. They get the same message that you get. But too many choirs think he's just preaching to the choir and I'm going to be quiet. You're not a choir, dude. You're probably one that needs it just as much as those that are sound asleep. The choir's responsibility always is to sing. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 3 and verse number 14 through 17, he says that there was a congregation there that was lukewarm. They were dozing. They were getting ready to fall sound asleep. They had left their first love. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verses 1 through 4, he tells about people that are carnal minded. Are you carnal minded this evening? Have you left your first love? Did you care more about the things in your life than the things of God? That's carnal minded. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Seek what second? No, first. Do we understand what first is? Now here's what he didn't say. Because some people get mixed up here. He didn't say you couldn't make lists. That's not what that statement says. You can make 100 lists. You can make a list. I got a list with my family and things I want to accomplish there. I got a list of here and things I want to accomplish there. All God says that to every top of every list is me. That's all he's saying. It's okay to make lists. But at the top of every list you make, God says is me. That's what seeking first the kingdom of God is. It's okay to want to become the president of your work company. But at the top of that list is God. Presidency doesn't come first. It's okay to want to get your children off and into college. But at the top of your family list is God. Not those things. Seek first the kingdom of God. And everything else he'll take care of. We don't believe that though. We have closed minds. We're not like the Bereans where we're no more noble than those of Thessalonica because what? They search the scriptures daily. Acts 17:11. But we have closed minds. We're no longer searching the word of God. Are you searching it with a fervency? That's when you're wide awake. You're searching this. You're searching for ways. You're searching for statements to bring to people. But we live in a day, man, I tell you, I got my phone this evening because my wife's gone. Normally she holds it, but these things are ruining us. Well, yeah, I got Facebook on these things and I browse Facebook some of the time and there's more quotes from men than there are from God on here. And we call ourselves the Church of Christ. They're quoting this for, this person said that. I don't care what that person said. Tell me what the Word of God says. What does the Bible say? But we're repeating quotes from brothers in Christ instead of repeating what God says. Search this. Get into the book until it gets into you. Because when it gets into you, it's going to come out of you. Study to show thyself approved. Workmen that need of not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Quit neglecting your prayer life. Pray without ceasing. Be the people that God has called us to be. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 21. And to him be the glory. Well, he says in the church. You don't glorify God outside the church. You can't do it outside the church. You've got to be the people God has caused you to be in the church. That's where all the glory of God is to be. What is glorifying God? Well, let's listen. In Isaiah chapter 43 and verse number 7 said, everyone I've created for my own purpose. I created him for my own purposes. What's the purpose? To glorify me, to bring me glory, the Bible says there. How do you do it? John 17 and verse number 6, I've glorified thee, Father, on earth. I finished the work you have given me to do. You want to glorify God? Obey him. That's how you glorify God. Where can you obey him? The only place you can bring God glory is the church. It's the only place. Not outside of it, folks. We need to start glorifying Jesus Christ in the church. We need to learn to have the mind of Christ. We need to have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Do you have the mind of Christ this evening? We need the mind of Christ. We need a wake-up call. Mind of Christ. We need to start caring for, we need to start doing good to all men, but especially those of the house of the faith. We need to get involved in the lives of people. We need to start practicing love. 1 John, the whole 5 chapters. Love, 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 love. Love the brethren. 1 Peter, love your brethren. James chapter 1:27, true religion. We need to practice love. Love never fails. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. We need to stop being so hard-hearted. 1 Timothy chapter 4. We need to share the gospel with the world. Mark chapter 16. We need to start assembling with the saints. Hebrews chapter 10. The list can go on and on. We need to start really bearing fruit, the fruit of the Spirit. Galatians chapter 5. This is what we need to do. Remember what point number 2, what God has called us. He says we are watchmen. Some need a wake-up call because they've forgotten they're watchmen. They've forgotten a responsibility. They've forgotten what they owe God. They've forgotten what they owe this world. They're sleeping and they're wide awake at the same time. God says, get up! Wake up out of that slumber! As it's appointed unto man once to die and after this the judgment. The Bible is very clear about that. You can be court-martialed. We talked about it. For what? Falling asleep. Get yourself up. Wake up. Stir yourself. Pour water on your head if you have to. There are things that have to be done in the Lord's church. We've got to go from house to house. We've got to get everyone's attention. We've got to call all men to Christ. We've got to scatter the seeds of Jesus Christ. And the parable is this. The seed is the word of God. Luke chapter 8 and verse number 11. We've got to go everywhere scattering. We can't force men to listen. We can't force them to obey, but we've got to give them opportunity. Can you say this? Has every man in this city had an opportunity to hear the gospel preached? Have you personally invited them? If not, you need to start. You need to get involved with the people here in this city. You need to, I understand you're building a radio. I understand that. That's a great point. That's a great starting point. But we don't stop there. We need to put it on every piece of advertisement that ever goes out of here. Listen to the radio station. We need it on the billboard. We need it on the front of the building. We need it in newspapers. We need it everywhere people's eyes will go. We need to have it on the back of business cards, on the front of business cards. We need it everywhere. Don't just make a radio station, saturate this whole area saying, we've got a radio station, wake up and listen to us. Folks, we begin to think that that's the only thing that needs to be done. The radio station is the first step. It's not the end of end. It's only the beginning. When we begin to think like that and we begin to understand that the people need us, sirs, we would see Jesus. They're only going to see him in me. It is still true that it is appointed unto man. The Bible says in Isaiah 56 in verse number 10, talking about us, he says, his watchmen are blind. I don't mean to laugh, but I tell you, Isaiah puts it straight forward. He puts it straight forward. What's the problem? The problem is his people, his watchmen. They're blind. They can't see. Come on, Isaiah, don't get mad at me. Stop getting mad at me. Get in your Bible and see if it's not true. Isaiah is not going to pull punches to make you feel good sitting on these pews. Isaiah says when it comes to the watchmen, they're blind. But listen to this. That's just a tip. I hope you're in Isaiah. Don't take my word for it. He says this. They're all ignorant. Boy, we would get mad. What you just say about me? Isaiah's not pulling punches with you folks. Not pulling punches with the Church of Christ. Isaiah said the watchmen, they're all blind. Matter of fact, he says, they're all ignorant. And don't get any better from here, folks. They're all dumb dogs. What? That's what Isaiah just said. Not some, not many. Isaiah says not only are they blind, but they're ignorant. Matter of fact, let's just quit being nice. Isaiah said they're all dumb dog. Man, this, you talking about making somebody look at themselves. They got problems. Then he describes them. They can't even bark. How many of you want a dog that can't bark? Don't nobody want a dog, a watchdog, because we're watchmen he's talking about. He's talking about watchmen. How many of you want a watchdog that can't? That's what he's telling you. Don't nobody want you. Don't nobody need you. You are not fulfilling your purpose. You are no help whatsoever as a watchman. You're blind. You're ignorant. You're dumb as dogs. You can't bark. You're sleeping. There's the problem. They were asleep when they should have been awake. Loving to slumber. He says all they do is love to sleep. Some are doomed because we have fallen asleep on duty. You when you get home and read Ezekiel chapter 3. Final point. You need to wake up because of what time it is. Do we understand what time it is? What time is it? Have you ever noticed how many times in a day we check our clocks? Some of you have already checked the clock that's put back there for me. You turned around and looked at it like I'm a quit preaching just because you look at it. That may make me go an extra 5 minutes. But we love to check the clock. We love to know what time it is. Be without this and you'll ask your wife, excuse me, honey, what time is it? What time is it? What time is it? What time is it? The question is asked 100 times a day. Jesus is right now asking us the question. What time is it? And I'm telling you this evening is later than you think. Because we're closer today than we were yesterday. For now is the day of our salvation. Romans chapter 13. It is time to man the stations. It is time to get back on that old ship of Zion. To man our battle station. To get on the battleship. It's time to get off the cruise ship. We think this is a love boat and this is supposed to be a battleship. We're sitting here and we see the love boat is different. The love boat has gophers. Gophers go around taking care of your needs. Go for this, go for that. And the gophers make sure that you're comfortable. A battleship, you've got to get up. You've got to do things for yourself. There's a war that is being fought and we're fighting it. And too many people are acting like this battleship is the cruise ship. And I'm here to tell you, you're not on a cruise ship this evening. You're on a battleship and it's time to stand up and be counted. The deck chairs have been broken. Stop lying down in the sun thinking that I got a deck chair to catch all the sun and soak up the rays. Can you bring me a Sprite? No. Those days are over with, folks. The entertainment is always available on a cruise ship. This is not time to entertain ourselves. Pay crew members. Those preachers are going to do what we're supposed to do. That's what cruise ships are for. So I hope you don't think you're hiring a man to do what you can do for yourself. Because this is a battleship. On a battleship, everybody works. You see, on a battleship, there are men going around trying to what? Encourage you. And there's fighting right there beside you. See, on a cruise ship, you pay the crew to work for you. And the church has this ideal that we are on cruise ships instead of battleships. We're lying around taking life easy. Eat, drink, be merry, because tomorrow we die. It is time for preachers to get back to preaching the unadulterated gospel. Teachers to start living the gospel, living the word, challenging the whole congregation to practice what thus saith Jehovah. It's time for elders to start watching the sheep. It's time for deacons to start doing the work that they've been called to do. It's time for members to rise up in arms and demand that the church start working so that they can work alongside of her. You remember when they rebuilt the walls, everybody had what? Everybody had a duty, folks. You go back and read that if you don't believe me in Nehemiah. They tried to get them. He says, you all have a duty you have to be doing. They were too busy. They're too busy. See, we think we're busy, but we're not busy doing God's work. And so our children get involved in this. They get involved in this. They try this. They try that. You get them busy for the Lord and they'll stop doing those things. What did Paul say? I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole gospel. That took time. That took energy. That took effort. Paul says, I've used every ounce to encourage you, to declare unto you the whole counsel of God, the whole gospel. Preach the word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering, he told Timothy. Paul understood it was time for members to be challenged and where they were sitting and where they had found themselves at that day. Take heed to yourselves and to the doctrine. Who's Paul talking to them? I've not shunned to declare unto you whole gospel. He's talking to the elders. Take heed to yourselves and to everyone else to the whole doctrine. He says, in so doing, you're going to save yourself. Shepherd the church of God. He purchases it with every ounce of his blood. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be you steadfast, unmovable. Catch this. Catch what he says. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. Are you always abounding? What does that mean? When we read the Bible, we get numb in the brain. We get numb in the brain and act like we don't know what words mean. You know what the word always means. You know what the word always means. Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work. Always moving forward. There's no such thing as a, I wish I had time, there's no such thing as a mediocre Christian. But some of you think we can be mediocre. Some of you think we can compare ourselves to other Christians that are mediocre, and it's okay for me to be mediocre. There's no such thing as a mediocre Christian. You're either doing the work of God or you're not. And you're giving, putting God first or you're not. You're doing everything God says or you're not. There's no mediocrity. That's what he tried to teach in Revelation chapter 3. The point there is not the water. The point is there was no use for that type of water. They had become mediocre. They had become useless to God. He spit them out of his mouth. There was a use for hot water. There was a use for cold water. But the mediocre water, he says, it's not useful. And so he spits it out of his mouth. That's the point we missed there. God says you make me sick when you're mediocrity. God wants Christians that are on fire. You hear what Jeremiah said? I tried it that way. But I couldn't do it because God had filled my heart. God had filled my soul. God had filled me. He said, I tried to stop. I tried not to say nothing. But my bones start to talk to me. They grew weary. They start shaking. They said, you must be about the Father's business. He says, I got up and I began to work for God. Can you say that tonight? If you're mediocre, you better get up here. I'm not playing with you. When that invitation comes, you better be sitting right there. You better be sitting right here. Because your elders know who's mediocre. They know who's middle of the road. If you have not been on fire for the Lord, get up here and make a confession. Stop playing. This is the Lord's church. This just didn't come up out of the minds of men. The Bible says, watch. Stand fast. Quit you like men. Be brave. Be strong. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse number 13. The bottom line is this, folks. There are too many in our congregations that are sleeping, that are slumbering. They continue to hit the snooze button over and over. I don't want to hear that preacher. I'm going to hit the snooze button. I'm comfortable being mediocre. I'm comfortable not knowing who God is. Are you waiting for tomorrow? If so, why? What are you waiting for? Tomorrow's not promised to you. We must be about the Father's business, not tomorrow, today. The Bible says now is the acceptable time, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Right now is the time to be about God's business. Now is the time to be about salvation. So what is there left for us to save this evening? My only question is, will you wake up? Or will you continue to hit the snooze button and do nothing? Jesus came to give a wake-up call. Jesus came so that we could all be wide awake. I want to close with something that George Washington said to our country. Is what is called George Washington's marching orders. George Washington says something that I hope is true about the congregation that meets here. May we therefore have the resolve to conquer or die this country for the glory of our God. All the people call upon us for vigorous and manly exertion. And if we shamefully fail, then we shall become infamous. No, not in the books of men, but in the book of God. So therefore, let us rely on the goodness of the cause. And with the aid of God, in whose hand is the victory to aid, to animate and to encourage us to both great and noble actions. I hope the church understands that we are in the hand of God, and with God we cannot fail. So then, brethren, I commend you to God and to His Word, which is able to build you up and give you an inheritance among those that are being sanctified. We are able to conquer San Angelo if we will do what God says and stop sleeping on the job. We are able. God says you are more than conquerors. You're not just a conqueror, but you're more than conquerors. It is time for us, for you, for me, for all of us in this area to believe it and to do the work that God has instructed us to do. You're here today and you're not a Christian. Why not? Why not? You've heard the truth. Let me tell you how man got in this situation. They heard a lie, they believed a lie, they obeyed a lie. What am I asking of you this evening? You've heard the truth. I'm asking you to believe in and obey it. The Bible says without faith it's impossible to believe God. Please, God. The Bible says that to obey it means to act it out by having your sins washed away in baptism. That's what I'm asking you. Hear, believe, repent, confess, and have yourself baptized for the remission of your sins. Are you a member of the Lord's church or aren't you? Well, I'm not sure, brother. Well, get up here and study with somebody. Understand that Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church. How many churches did he say? My church, singular, possessive. It belongs to him. And it's high time you became a member of it. If you don't understand, get into a study right now with somebody. Stop coming up with excuses. What about you members? Are you wide awake? Are you wide awake? Are you?
Yes, sir.
Then it's time to be about the Father's business. It's time to shake the bushes. It's time to invite people from your work to study the Bible with you. It's time to knock on your neighbor's door and invite them into your home to study the Bible with you. It's time, folks, because people are dying without Christ, and we have what they need. Please stop keeping it to yourself. Please. Go give this to somebody. And if you don't know how, just ask somebody. Because they'll go for you and with you. You're here today and you've fallen short. Get up here, please. Let's not play any more games. Let's not waste any more time. Make the statement that I know. I love Jesus and I'm going to be about His business from this day forward. You're here today. Let it be known as we sing the song that's selected.